For our scripture reading, we turn again to Daniel chapter 9. We consider this time especially the latter half, especially from verse 20 on. The beginning of the book of Daniel, we read of things that happened when Daniel was relatively young. This is almost 70 years after that time that we read of here in the first year of Darius. Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So far we read from the holy word of our God. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we talked last time about how Daniel here is understanding from the prophecy of Jeremiah about the 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem, and those 70 years are coming to an end. So that now he's an older man at this time, and he understands that by the prophecy of Jeremiah. And he comes to God in prayer and repeatedly confesses his sin, the sin of the people, his own sin. Daniel was one who walked with God, yet he was a sinner. And he confessed his sin and the sin of the people. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly. And we pointed out that how repeatedly he speaks about the sin of the people and about God's righteousness. God is righteous. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. And he brings out, we have sinned against thee. We have not listened to the word of God. We have not listened to what was spoken through the prophets. And now at the end of the prayer, he starts calling out to God for mercy. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations. And then saying, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. He prays for forgiveness. And while he is praying, he receives, the angel Gabriel comes to him and explains about 70 sevens. So here, it had come to the end. It had come to the end of the 70 years. And now he hears about the 70 sevens. The word translated week is a word that literally means seven. So from 70 years to 70 sevens. And there's a variety of views on these 70 sevens. In fact, it is quite something to read all the different views and of the different parts of it. When you go through the different statements that are made, phrase by phrase, clause by clause, it's quite something to see the different views on the subject. Now, the dispensational view, in brief, dispensational view, or the common view among Baptists, that speak about there being two different peoples of God, and we've talked about that. And they speak about this coming kingdom for the Jews, a 1,000-year kingdom for the Jews coming. Well, the dispensationalists, they often take this passage and refer to the last seven as being a time that is still future. That they speak about the first, the 70 is divided into 7, 62, and 1. And the 70 and the 62 are often looked at together as they're referred to together. And a dispensational position is that the views of the 7 and the 62, when you put them together, and if each of those 7 is referring to 7 years, then they say it refers to in the days of Nehemiah, and when he was going to come back to Jerusalem and build the walls of Jerusalem from that time until about 30 to 33 AD. And then this last 7, they say there's this big gap then. From there, that ends with the Messiah and with the cross. And then from there, the last 7 is way in the future. And there's this big gap. And the other, the dispensationalists, there's been others that have held, different. Like I said, there's a variety of views on this. This has been a difficult section to be able to explain. Even in our own churches, there has been different explanations of these 77s. So it's understood that there are some difficulties with regard to it. Three things that are clearly spoken of in this passage are that the Messiah is coming. That's one thing that is clearly referred to. It says, until Messiah the Prince. So that what we have here is that Daniel is being told about the coming Messiah. So that when he prays, in answer to his prayer, Gabriel comes and speaks to him about the coming of the Messiah. the Messiah that would be cut off and not for himself. So we look at that in the first place, what it says about the coming Messiah. Secondly, there's this reference to the confirming of the covenant. Now, there is disagreement on that point as to what is meant in verse 27. The covenant shall be confirmed with many in verse 27. But I take that to be, although as I say, I acknowledge that there are different views of that, but I think that that is parallel with verse 26, the beginning of it, and it's referring to Christ confirming the covenant. And that certainly is something that is taught in the scriptures, that the Messiah would come and he would confirm the covenant. Daniel is praying about the covenant. He speaks in verse 4, the great and dreadful God keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. He is speaking about the covenant. And then we read about the Christ that will come, and that Christ will confirm the covenant. We also clearly read about a destruction. We read, the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And we think of how Christ came. He suffered and died for us. He did confirm the covenant. And we think of what took place in Jerusalem after that. Thus, this passage spoke about the judgment that would come, but also spoke the very comforting words about the fact that the covenant, that Christ would come in fulfillment of the covenant promise, and that he would accomplish our salvation. We consider this passage under the theme, the 77s. We consider first the coming Messiah, secondly, the covenant confirmed, and thirdly, the city destroyed. The beginning of this section, we take note of the fact that the prayer for the coming of the Messiah, about, or rather, this prayer receives the answer. The answer that's given speaks about the coming of the Messiah. We think of what Daniel has been praying. Incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. And in answer to that prayer, he receives this explanation about the 77s that speaks about the coming of the Messiah. The answer speaks about the Messiah will come. The Savior will come. The fact that Gabriel speaks here and the thing and what he is tasked to do points out to us the importance of us being diligent and continuing to work at growing in our understanding of what is said in the Old Testament prophets. We have to keep working at it, comparing scripture and scripture with scripture. But it is important to see what Gabriel says here. It says in verse 21, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, we understand this is the angel Gabriel who had been referred to earlier, whom I had seen at the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And it's interesting, you think of what happened a long time ago at this point. You know, you think of what had happened to the temple in Jerusalem. And yet Daniel in his mind is thinking, you know, and is praying, and it's about the time of the evening oblation. And, you know, we think of the evening, you know, the sacrificial worship in the evening. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come." He makes a reference to his prayer. You know, we talked this morning about God hearing our prayers. Here we see Daniel praying. And then Gabriel says, "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." Now, that indicates our own calling then. Gabriel's being sent to give this, to make this known, and he's also saying, "Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." And he talks about 70 weeks, 77s, are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Now that number 70 is symbolic. We think of the covenant when we think of seven. And this is now 77. So we think of the covenant. We think of the fulfillment of the covenant. There are those that try to make the different time periods a literal period of time. And that's where difficulty comes in trying to figure out exactly what happened in a 49-year period and so on. But that whether one can find time periods that where there's something happened in a literal time period of this or not, we do certainly know that 70 is a number where we think of the symbol of seven, and we think of the fulfillment, Christ coming and fulfilling the covenant. In verse 25, it says, or in 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks," or seven sevens. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, that's one of the places where there's a number of different events that people have made reference to. One person summarized and said there's four different views of this. Some say the time that Cyrus gave the command to rebuild the temple. Or you can read later about what Darius said, saying again the things that Cyrus had said before him. And then there, you know, Artaxerxes, in the days of Ezra, we read of the beautifying of the temple in the days of Ezra. And then you think about what had happened in the time of Nehemiah. So there's a number of different passages that people go to. It seems this event is referring to what took place at the end of the 70 years, and that is the command that Cyrus made when he spoke about going back and rebuilding the temple. Now, some might say, but that was about the temple. Well, what about the city? Well, it is the case that there's a reference to the city. In Isaiah 44, verse 28, we read, "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built." So he made a reference to Jerusalem. "Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." It appears that that is the reference here, the beginning of this time frame, which means there's going to be this connection between the end of the 70 and the beginning of this 70 sevens. The period is going to be divided into two sections, 7 and 62, bringing out that the second section is going to be longer than the first, and that there's going to be these two sections, and if you put them together, that's when the Messiah will come. Because it says, from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So the first part of the period, there was the rebuilding, you know, first of the temple. And then later we think of what happened with the, you know, with the city. And the walls. There was a time of rebuilding. And then after that, there was this period, this period of time where when the last Old Testament prophet that we have in the record of in the scriptures, when that was finished until the New Testament began. And there was that time period then until the coming of Christ. And then the 70th week is going to refer to what Christ would do. The 70th week, then the last seven, or the last of the 77s, refers to what would happen when Christ would come. The Christ would come and he would suffer. He would die for his people. There would be the pouring out of the Spirit. Such were the events that would take place when Christ came. Now clearly, this reference here to the Messiah being coming was a great comfort indeed. When Daniel makes his prayer and speaks, and he's thinking about the return to Jerusalem, he receives this promise about the coming of the Messiah, that the Messiah, coming Messiah is going to come. Now we know, of course, that he has come. And we have instruction here about what Christ has done. And we think about, and we're going to turn now in the second place, to consider that it makes a reference to his confirming of the covenant. Now, with regard to that, there are different views about what that means, the confirming of the covenant. There are those that take that last week and take that to be referring to a covenant that will be made, that the Antichrist will make with Israel. And that's a dispensational position, speaking of the coming Antichrist is going to make this covenant with Israel, and then there's going to be this time of a breaking of the covenant. There's going to be persecution for Israel, you know, suffering for Israel, and so on. But there's also the position that he here refers to the Messiah. And Professor Engels most speaks of that position, and I'm inclined to think that that position is correct, which makes verse 26, the beginning of verse 26, and the beginning of verse 27 parallel with one another. In verse 26, it says, after 62 weeks, so it's now talking about during the time of the last seven, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Then the verse 27 says, and he, because this is about, the passage is about the coming of the Messiah. When we look at it from the viewpoint that this passage is about the coming of the Messiah, verse 25 says, You know, from the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. So that it's about this 77 is about the coven. The 77s is about the coming of the Messiah. Unto Messiah the Prince. And then 26 says that the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. And we think of the cross. And then verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that last week, that last seven, he shall confirm the covenant. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And understanding it that way, then that means that at the cross, that was the end of the sacrifices. Because Christ offered the perfect sacrifice. One of the things that's clearly taught in Scripture, even if one disagreed about if he referred to Christ or not, it clearly is the case that Scripture teaches that Christ would come and fulfill the covenant, and that the cross, by that cross, by his one sacrifice, he would confirm the covenant. And the prophets spoke about the new covenant. You know, some of the passages that we point to that talk about regeneration, we talk about receiving a new heart and about having the law of God in our heart. Well, God says that in Jeremiah 31 when he talks about the new covenant. So in the prophecy of Jeremiah that spoke about the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, that prophecy also spoke about the new covenant. And we often refer to this when talking about the covenant. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. And we, you know, we're looking at that already this morning. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. They won't depart from me. And then we think of how God says here, 70 weeks or 77s are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression. Notice how it directs us to think about spiritual things. To finish the transgression. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Here Daniel had been praying, confessing his sin, asking for forgiveness. And he receives in this explanation that there's going to be reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, which certainly makes us, you know, we think of the cross. And we think of how that where he has redeemed us and that we are righteous in Christ, to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Christ came. When Christ came, he did confirm the covenant. He confirmed the promises that were made to the fathers. Romans 15, verse 8. Covenant was confirmed by his death. We pointed out that when we talked about the Lord's Supper and then the Lord's Supper form. that the covenant was confirmed by Christ's death. And we think of how Christ said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." We think of how the promise was fulfilled in the resurrection. Acts 13 speaks about God's promise was fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ, when it says, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written." That he came, the promises were fulfilled. You think of the promise, the Messiah means that Messiah means anointed one. That means he will be the prophet, the priest, and the king. You think of the promised prophet who would explain the word of God, who would make known the secret will of God concerning our salvation. And we think of how Christ came and spoke the word of God and declared to us the good news. And we think of how, as priest, he reconciled us to God and how he intercedes for us. We think of how he, as king, rules us, how he defends us, how he preserves us. We think of how the promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and how when he died, that was the end. That was the end of the typical sacrifices. As we say in the Belgic Confession, Article 25, we believe that the ceremonies and figures of the law ceased at the coming of Christ, and that all the shadows are accomplished. And when we think of Christ coming and confirming the covenant, we are greatly comforted as we think of the fact that he's accomplished, he did what was necessary. He reconciled us. He made reconciliation for iniquity. To think of how comforting that is for you and I to think of that ourselves as we confess our sins. As we think of Daniel confessing his sins and the sins of his people. And then we think of us confessing our sins and praying for the church, forgive us, our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And then we think of Christ and the finishing of transgression. The making reconciliation for iniquity. The bringing in of everlasting righteousness. And we partake of his anointing. The anointed one. The Messiah means anointed one. The anointed one has come. He has fulfilled the covenant. And we partake of his anointing. Which brings out also that we have work to do. That we recognize Christ has come, he has saved us, he has redeemed us. But we recognize that we, out of thankfulness, have work to do. We partake of his anointing. We're prophets, priests, and kings under Jesus Christ. And we're to be faithfully performing the work that he's called us to do. In difficult times, you know, Daniel hears this. And then afterwards, it was still the case that for Daniel in the days ahead and for the people of God in the days ahead, there were going to be difficult days. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And we think of the fact that we live in these days now, looking forward to the return of our Lord. There are difficult days. And in these difficult days, as we go through them, and we have trials of a variety of sorts, sorrows and afflictions, we think of the great comfort that we have. The Messiah has come. We are righteous in him. He has atoned. And we think of how the covenant is a relationship of friendship, and that he has established with us an everlasting covenant, forever enjoying friendship with God. Forever. And no one can snatch us from his hand. He's confirmed the covenant. We think of all the blessings we receive on the basis of what Christ, the Messiah, has done. And lastly, this passage spoke about the city being destroyed. We think of how when Christ would come, we think about how the fact that he would be cut off, or we think about the fact that the wicked would hate it and would crucify him. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. We think of him dying for us. But then we think of the fact that sinful men hated the Messiah. They crucified him. Third day he rose again and he ascended into heaven. And then for a time, the apostles were going to Jerusalem. And then they were hating the apostles and persecuting the apostles. We read of how they put Stephen to death. And we read of the great persecution that took place of the saints after this. And we read of that in Acts 8. Well, what was going to happen to Jerusalem? It says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And that seems to be parallel. It's like the first parts, there was a parallel. There seems to be a sort of parallel in the last parts of 26 and of 27. Where 27 says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And that is thought to be pointing to the destruction of Jerusalem. And we can think first of all of the what happened as the saints leave, as they're persecuted and they leave. And then we think of what happens afterwards when in 70 AD that Jerusalem is destroyed. And we think of what happens to the temple. And Jesus, of course, made a reference to that. There shall not be one stone left upon another, and so on. So that this prophecy not only spoke about the coming Messiah, and not only spoke about how he would save his people from their sins, but it also spoke about the destruction that would come upon Jerusalem. And it brings out the judgment, the righteous judgment of God. Now we can make an application to what's still to come, too. When we know that when we study about the destruction of Jerusalem and what happened to Jerusalem after Jesus was crucified, We know that that does point us to consider things that are still future, too. We see what they did to Christ. Well, we can make an application of that to what will happen to God's people as we get and increase in intensity as we get closer to the end. We know our Lord taught us that. That as they had persecuted, as they hated him, that they would hate us. We think of the fact that it was especially those that called themselves the people of God that came against Christ and stirred up the people to say, crucify them. And we know that it'll be especially those that are apostate, those that are not, you know, we think of the false church, as we confess in our confessions, that hates and persecutes the true people of God. And then we think of the anti-Christian world power and its relationship to the false church, that they go together for a time. And then we think of what the Roman Empire, the anti-Christian empire, what the Roman Empire did to the Jews later. And then we think of what's still to come with the anti-Christian world power and its relationship to the false church. And then finally, when we think of the complete destruction, we also think of the day when our Lord returns and all his and our enemies are destroyed. 70 weeks are determined. There's a number of places where that idea comes in, that we're to think about how God has determined what takes place. 70 weeks or 77s are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, verse 24. The end of verse 26, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then in the end of 27, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. We think of the fact that God's counsel stands. And he says, my counsel shall stand, I shall do all my pleasure. And we know, as we go through these dark days, and as we see the signs of the coming of Christ, and as we see the apostate churches, we see the things that they tolerate and even promote, the sins that people are walking in, and it's promoted, even among those that are claiming to be Christians. And as we see the world power in our own day, as we see the working together of the nations and how the ungodliness that characterizes what's going on in our own day, lawlessness abounds. Yet we know that God has spoken of these things. And we think of what God said would happen with the coming of Christ and what he told Daniel when he was praying, as he in answer to his prayer, as this was made known to him. And as we think of how this took place, just as God said that it would, so we can make an application thinking about the return of Christ and how we long for that and how we know he will return. When we think of his confirming the covenant, we think of the fact that we'll have fellowship with our God forever and all his and our enemies will be destroyed. And we speak of that in the Belgic Confession. And our calling is faithfully to bear witness to the truth. To separate. You think of God saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. And he calls us, come out and separate. Walk in separation from this world. Ye are my people. Faithfully bear witness to the truth. The true gospel of the kingdom is to be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And to speak about the coming judgment and calling people to repent and believe in Christ. We have work to do. Christ has redeemed us. He's given us work that we're called to do. And part of that work is the constant searching of the Scriptures, and then also bearing witness to the truth of God, to glorify our Redeemer. This came in answer to Daniel's prayer. And you think of the fact that we pray, "Thy kingdom come." We pray, "Forgive us our debts," as Daniel did. "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." We pray, "Thy kingdom come." Preserve and increase thy church. Destroy. You think of how that goes. We pray for the increasing of the church and the destruction of the works of the devil. It says, "Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which should exalt itself against thee, and all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word." That's what we pray for. God hears our prayer. And may we think, as we pray, and as we pray in this week, may we think of the fact that our Lord, our Redeemer, hears our prayer. He has sent the Messiah. He has redeemed us. May we forever live to his glory. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for thy grace. We are thankful for thy mercy. We are thankful that the Messiah has come and that he has redeemed us. And we ask that thou would grant us the grace that we may glorify and praise thy holy name, and that we may be faithful in these last days. We trust in thee, O Lord. Grant us thy grace. Bless all thy saints for Christ's sake. Amen.